FM News Talk 97.1. On demand audio.
The doctor is in.
Hey, Uncle Sam, put your name at the top of his list. And a statue.
Randy Tobler, good morning, my friend. How are you?
Good morning. Boy, there's not much to talk about, Mark. How's the weather
out
there?
That Jeff Allen, our program director, joked with me about 3 years ago. He goes, you know, one of these days you're going to have to work for a living and actually produce a program. And now everything just kind of falls into your lap.
That's right. Boy, I tell you, it is a great time for talk radio and for engagement of people. I mean, for the first time in a long time, it seems like people at all levels, even folks that maybe aren't, you know, rabid political wonks, are really interested in what's going on, whether it's domestic and tariffs and foreign policy and Putin, and of course locally and regionally with the Senate race. So there's just lots going on.
I've got the left is completely whacked out about what happened yesterday, and some people on the right side of the political spectrum as well. But I've got people on social media this morning dropping F-bombs on me because I pointed out that their biggest concern here is that if it's not Russian collusion, they have to accept the fact that Hillary Clinton lost fair and square, and they can't do that. Their emotions are not going to let them ever accept the fact that Donald Trump was legitimately elected president of the United States, and it had nothing to do with any outside influence.
Right. I mean, I think you're right there. I also think, though, that this can be a both and moment for those who are, as you and I think, try to be, and everyone on this station tries to be fair arbiters of the truth and all things right. And in this case, you know, as I sat and I listened to, the news conference, I listened to the interview, I think it was a bit of a non sequitur for Donald Trump to be, talking so much about. He's so wounded by the collusion and the witch hunt. And he has a right to be, because it's been absolutely wrong. But that has very little to do with the fact that, 12 Russian generals and 13 or 14 other Russian operatives that had operations doing, bots and trolling within the United States, a couple months ago have been indicted. And, the optics of, going after NATO very publicly and the leaders of those countries and then not saying anything publicly other than we talked about it to Putin, I think it was a lost opportunity. That said, we will never know what was said behind closed doors. And we've come to know that Donald Trump works in very mysterious ways. So the jury's still out on whether his behaviors, which is much more important to me than what he says, his behaviors in terms of the strong sanctions, kicking out Russian diplomats, talking about putting the defense shield back in Eastern Europe, those are the things that ultimately really matter. I just think that he becomes a little undisciplined when he gets his feelings hurt again by the collusion talk.
His entire presidency, Randy, from the day he was elected, has focused on supposed Russian collusion. I think it's a false narrative, and I'm not surprised that he's a little distracted and defensive about it, because the minute he comes out and says, yes, the Russians tried to influence our elections, but there's no evidence that there was any influence, that it changed anything. And remember what Obama said back in 2016.
The larger point that I want to emphasize here is that there is no serious person out there who would suggest somehow that you could even rig America's elections. And so I'd invite Mr. Trump to stop whining and go try to make his case to get votes.
Funny how short the memory is, right?
Yeah, and that he did. Yeah, I really think that what I'm concerned about, Mark, is that there are persuadable people in the middle. And after all, those are the people that are going to make the election, make the difference in both the midterms here and in 2020. It won't be you and I, and it won't be the Bernie Sanders supporters, because we will vote for the party's nominee in all likelihood. And so it'll be those people in the middle. And many of those people in the middle that I talk to, including some on the program that have called me, are saying, he would be well to admit that they tried. Let's not deny that. And that there's the potential that, if they can hack into the DNC servers, they can hack into the RNC servers. There may be some things on there that would not be very favorable for Trump or for the constitutional conservative cause, for that matter. And remind people, what he needs to be doing is looping you know, segments of your program, right? And my program and others that remind everyone about the Medvedev discussion and remind everyone about Obama calling off, you know, the very notion, Mitt Romney in 2012, that you could be thinking about the Russians. That's 1980s politics. And oh, about that reset button, and just, you know, bring it back and just hammer the pacificity of the Democrats in the past and now how they've suddenly turned into hawks against Vladimir Putin. I think that'd be a very effective technique. And really, I think Kellyanne Conway is going to be his best ally as we get closer to election time, because she'll sharpen those blades and those daggers even more, and he will begin to pull out those weapons when the time's right.
Yeah, well, you know, I pointed this out a little bit earlier. What I'd like to see him remind people of is that whoever these people are, they may be Russian hackers connected to the government, they may be 20-year-old Russians living in their mother's basement somewhere in Moscow. Whoever did this did it with an age-old hacking technique called spearfishing, where you send an email to somebody, you try to find somebody who's not paying any attention, who responds to it with personal information, then you use their personal information to hack them, and then you use it to get in. That's what happened here. John Podesta got hacked because he was paying no attention. They used that to get into the DNC server, and they extracted information that was embarrassing to the Democrats. There's no doubt about that. But, Randy, I found a interesting article from 2014 from a company called Net Standard that pointed out that as of 2014, there were 5,000 internet-based attacks, hacking attacks in the U.S. every hour. Most of it comes from China, and nobody's talking about that.
No, there's certainly plenty of perps out there that we can go after. But by the way, did you get a piece of that diamond mine from Uncle Nabembo in Kenya that I just invested in? It's a fantastic opportunity.
Wow.
If you don't get a chance, I'll talk
along
to you after the show.
I did have an uncle, apparently, that I didn't know about, who died, who had $12 million to leave me. Yeah. All I had to do was send my bank account.
And I think that the only critique I could make of the president is that, in contrast to the way he went after full throated out in full, you know, the light of the glare of the NATO conference the week before, or, you know, to go after them very, very openly, I think he missed an opportunity there. But we don't know what he said. And behind closed doors. And we'll see. We'll just see. I hope he doesn't fall prey to what is apparently a very charming persona that Vladimir Putin has. Because remember when George Bush looked into his eyes and saw into his soul and saw a good man? And, well, that sort of went south,
so,
you know?
Yeah. And, you know, I look at what the president has done so far. And at every turn, whether it's the economy or trade or jobs or tax breaks, everything he's done very intentionally, and he's winning. So I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt that whatever his strategy is with Putin, there's a point to it. The left has never been willing to give him the benefit of the doubt, and all they want is his failure. So I'm sorry. I'm going to wait and see here. I'm not so sure he's not setting Vladimir Putin up.
Well, and as people who listen to my show know, I've not heard you do it, but I've not heard one error on the Mark Cox show.
Well, I appreciate that.
But those
that.
Of
Thank
us who those of us who talk a lot, and God knows Donald Trump talks a lot, we're either going to have errors of commission or omission. It happens all the time, and his style is a freewheeling style. There's going to be some lapses. There's going to be some problems, some slips, and, you know, some pratfalls. That's okay. In the end, though, you're right. I'm looking for outcomes. We want to win, and, you know, it's an interesting bit of psychology. I think as I thought about talking with you, and as I've just looking back over the last week and a half, and in fact, the last year and a half with him, it's almost like he's challenging people in NATO. He's challenging the weak. He's challenging the weak to step up and be leaders. And I think he's attracted in a very strange way, but it's an interesting analysis, to strong people. Yes, not trying to defend tyrants and murderers and people who nerve gas their opponents. That's not what this is about. But I think he is attracted to and likes to deal, and he loves the challenge, and he admires, in a sense, people that are strong, you know. And I think maybe that's why he went after the NATO leaders and about little Justin Trudeau, you know, with his little, you know, tight silk pants, you know. And so I think that maybe he's just challenging him to say, hey, step up, get your testosterone level checked, and, you know, get something done. And that would include Angela Merkel too, but that's another story.
That's true. Hey, Randy, thanks for your time, buddy. I appreciate it.
All righty, talk to you.
Dr. Randy Tobler, of course, the Randy Tobler Show, Saturday 6 to 9 here on FM News Talk 97.1 at Randy Tobler MD, if you follow him on Twitter.